We're going to go back into a teaching on a series I've started. The Lord started leading me back some months ago. Usually, like when I'm in a series teaching, God will start to talk to me about something else coming down the road. And so I usually have a couple things, at least two or three things I'm studying on, because we do on our Wednesday night Bible study up in Pine Grove there. I have that teaching. And I usually have a number of things that I'm studying on and that stuff. But he spoke to me to teach on the areas concerning salvation and entitle it A Full Salvation, because we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many people talk about preaching the gospel. And God started to deal with me because in this area is to go into what is really is entailed in the gospel. Because if we would take a yardstick and use that as a measuring stick and say, here's salvation. And the church preaches about 6 inches of it and calls it the gospel. They preach about 6 inches of it. You know, they'll preach forgiveness of sin. That's basically where they go and they stand. And they leave out the other 2.5 feet. They don't talk about it. That is the gospel. You know, thank God for forgiveness of sin, but you need to understand this. If all you got is forgiveness of sin, you couldn't go to heaven. The Jews had forgiveness of sin, and they weren't going to heaven. See, we've left out things. We've left out the new birth. We don't talk about the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say if you'd like to, it might help you, or he said you must. If Jesus said it's a must, then therefore it is a must. There needs to be a spiritual rebirth or a change in a person. We are born into the kingdom of God. You can't get into the kingdom of God any other way than to be born in it. You're not, you know, Nicodemus looked at the physical side of it and he said, well, how can a man be born again and go to his mother's womb? And Jesus said, what's wrong with you? He said, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand this? See, he didn't understand. See, when you get over and only preach part of what the word says, you got your religious part. You don't see the rest of it. And see, that's why we have to continually go to the Word of God, continually study the Word of God. People become happy in their little camp in this certain spot, and they like that. You know, is forgiveness a sin? I mean, if Jesus just forgave my sin, that's all he did. I can't enter heaven, because you got to be born again to get into the kingdom. He didn't say get forgiven to get into the kingdom, because everybody's been forgiven a sin. Every sinner's been forgiven a sin. They just ain't received it. They're forgiven. We're told in the book of Corinthians that we're supposed to preach to the world. We're supposed to tell the world that God's not holding sin against them. Well, we know what we preach. God's holding sin against you. You need to. We turn around and preach exactly opposite of what the Bible says. We're supposed to tell the world God's not your enemy. God's not against you. Jesus dealt with the sin issue. The issue is Jesus Christ. That's the issue. It's about receiving Christ. To as many receive Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. It's receiving Christ. People say, oh, well, you gotta get the forgiveness of your sin. Well, I'm sorry, that's not enough. It's about Jesus. We confess Christ. Paul wrote in Romans, the 10th chapter, and he wrote in there, how you get saved? What, does it tell you to confess? Did Paul say you gotta confess your sin? Never said that. Never said that at all. Why? Well, there's number one, you can never remember all the sins you did anyhow. You said nobody could ever get saved. I don't know all the sins I did as a sinner. I just know that I probably broke 90% of the law, but, you know. But what I had to do is you get saved confessing Christ, not confessing sin. You need to come to the knowledge of sin. You need to come to the place that you know you need a Savior. It's just not about our getting sins forgiven. See, we come to place, Jesus, when I came to Christ, I didn't have to ask Him forgiveness of sin, but I did thank Him for forgiving my sin, because He had did that 2,000 years ago on the cross. That's what He did. See, the church gets all kind of stuff messed up, and it's because of religion. Religion starts to do something, and when people read their Bible, they read it in the light of what they believe and not in the light of what it says. That's why I learned Kenneth Hagin used to say to us, take off your religious colored glasses when you go to read the Bible. And I found out I had to do that because there were things that I was taught and they weren't true. I found out they weren't true. And they weren't bad people trying to teach. They weren't trying to mislead me, but they were misleading me. Now they weren't bad, they weren't trying to, and they were misled. I'm of my parents. You know, I was 30 years old when I went to Christ. God came to Christ. They were saved. My parents were saved. But my parents, their religious beliefs, the way they believed religiously and that stuff, really led me astray. Now, I'm not knocking my parents. They walked in the light that they had. But thank God they're born again. You know, they left this earth. They're in heaven with Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're in a better place. But there was a lot they had messed up. Now, they didn't intend none of that. We're not criticizing people. But you know what? We're obligated today to sit down and read the Bible for ourselves and sit and look at it and make sure it's it. Don't take it because I say it. You got a Bible, read that thing. Find out if it actually says what we're saying it says. You know, concerning the end times, there's this one minister, and he used to be on TV a lot that I'd seen when I first got born again, and he'd always talk about the end times, and he was Mr. Machine Gun and quoting scriptures. And he would just say, man, I'd give a scripture, quote it, and say where it was at, you know. And he would go down and, bah, 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 this scripture says this, and this scripture says that. Well, one day I went down and I started taking these scriptures, and I started writing down where they're at, and I went and found out there's a bunch of these scriptures he was saying that said these different things didn't say that stuff. Now, I am sure he thought they did. But I started looking up. I thought, hold it. This guy's quoting scriptures and saying, this Bible says this, the Bible says that. Well, see, it's number one. He wasn't doing right begin with it. He shouldn't be saying things so fast nobody can check him out. Then, you know, get over that thing. You know, I don't have to prove to you that I'm smart. You got the Holy Ghost in there. You know, I'm a human. I could miss it like anybody else, and you could too. If you think you've arrived and you didn't miss it, you already missed it, and you need another dip. We can all miss it. It's one of the things, the Word never misses it. God never misses it. We do. Hallelujah. And we know, as like the Apostle said, Paul wrote, said, we know in part. And you know, I found this out over the years of studying the Word. And I've spent a lot of time studying the Word over the years. And I found this out and came to this place. My God, I know so little. The more we learn, I just can't. See, where we worship a God who is a know-it-all, He knows everything. And I ain't ever run into anybody else like that. I ran into a lot of people and thought they knew everything. They thought they did. But when it comes, our God is infinite in thought. You know, I remember one day when I finally got the revelation, God can never have a new thought. If He can have a new thought, then He doesn't know everything. And I thought, that being took us in, made us His kids. I thought, how on earth? You know, God is absolutely humble. The fact that He would take us in, the fact that He would save you bunch of scumbags. Well, that's the class we were in. But think about this. That God, who's a perfect genius. No, there's no new thoughts. He knows everything. He knows, you know, always existed. And He took us in. It's amazing. My God, I want to hang out with Him. This is a guy you want to stay near. Anybody in His position would do that for you. What love He must have. What phenomenal love He must have for us. It's incredible. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, we won't look at it. We have been dealing in this area, is one of the things we need to know, and why God wanted me to teach in this area, is because we need today to be able to take the gospel, and we want to preach the whole gospel to people, because the gospel is much better than we've preached it. It is more glorious than we preached it. We have preached the gospel on human terms instead of divine terms. We haven't preached it from God's side. We preach it from man's side all the time, and it's weak. It's weak on man's side. We got to preach it from God's side, from its glory side. Because I tell you what, it's more glorious than we preached it. It is more glorious. It's more wonderful. And that's what God did. The power of that gospel is preaching it from God's side. God's the Savior. He knows more about it than anybody. Hallelujah. And God wants His side preached that men can know that His great love and mercy and what He wants to do, what's in salvation. Because He wants mankind, while He's living in this earth, to enjoy all the salvation that He gave them. The average Christian will live and die with maybe about 10% of what God gave them in blessing and life. They won't, the average Christian will not leave in this earth, from this earth with the peace and joy and rest that God wanted them to have. They'll get caught in the affairs of life and get into the worries of affairs of life. And it isn't because they're bad people. It's because they don't know the richness of the gospel and what God wants to do for them. And see, we want people to have that. We're in today, we're in a society that's a mess. And we better have something better than the gospel that's been preached. Because people don't even care about it anymore. They don't even care. And I don't blame them. When I came into the kingdom, I had the full gospel preached to me. And I'll tell you what, I got a glorious gospel preacher. And I've often seen this with people. The gospel was so glorious, it so revolutionized my life. I didn't realize that I was seeing in God in a much bigger way because of what I was told than many Christians had been told. They've been told God's this big. And I saw God this big, and I thought, man, this thing's wonderful. And I was always wondering, why aren't people as excited as I am about this? They didn't know. They weren't told. They went to church, you know. You know, you could never trust God to answer your prayer. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says maybe. The Bible has no place in Scripture ever makes such a statement. But yet, most preachers preach that from the pulpits. God has a reason for not answering your prayer. Well, He better come up with a good reason because Jesus said He would give you anything you ask for. Jesus better come, because when I get to talk to Him face to face, we're going to have a problem with Him and lying to us. Jesus ain't a liar. When we have this happens in the church world. If what we try to do don't work, we immediately throw it over on God. We would never stop and say, you know, something's wrong with me. It ain't working. No, something must be wrong with God. Because see, I can't miss it. I'm so wonderful, you know. I would never admit that I'm wrong. God must be wrong. The reason I don't get my prayers answered, it must be my wife. See, that's what Adam did. Adam sinned and God came to God and said, hey, the woman did it. Said, she made me do it. And then God went to her and she said, it was a snake. Don't take the blame for yourselves. Don't say, I did it. You know, I got around and I just say, I did it. It was it. It was me. I messed up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't carry the blame off to somebody else. But our gospel is so glorious. We have been looking at it because we found this out, that the law is the schoolmaster that brings people to Christ. You see, we don't have the law preached today, and this is why. People have no knowledge of sin because the church has no knowledge of sin. The churches of America are filled with sin. There's all kind of stuff. I mean, you can be of any perversion and any sway, and there's loads of the churches just accept you, and you're okay no matter what's going on. There's no knowledge of sin. There's no knowledge of wrongdoing. I saw these things starting to happen in that stuff, really in the areas of the knowledge of sin. When years ago when I worked here at Lebanon County Prison, and I saw this among young men that were coming in years ago, and I saw this thing that was happening, is young men would come in and they wouldn't have any conscience about sin. See, this is what we're dealing with today. There's no conscience of sin. Men have no consciousness of it. They can't if it ain't preached. Men become conscious of what they're aware of or told. See, if the church don't preach to the, you gotta preach to the world the knowledge of sin. They have to know what sin is about. See, people, you see, the Christians say you need to be saved. From what? What do you mean saved? Everybody's alright. God loves everybody. So we're all safe. We're all good because He loves everybody. And I always tell people, I've had people come and say, well, God loves everybody. I said, yes, hell is full of people God loved, but they're still in hell. They're in hell. God loves everybody. That just because God loves everybody, everybody don't go to heaven. There's a distinction of who goes to heaven, who's with God. There's a distinction. And so we need to tell. See, people don't know that and we don't tell them. They walk around in ignorance. They have to have a knowledge of sin, and the Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law, without the knowledge of sin, you don't need a Savior. You think you're all right. You think you're okay. See, you know, it's one thing I had a hard time because I had been taught enough of the knowledge of sin when I was a kid that I lived till I was 30 years old. Till I got born again, I lived up until that time with a conscience bothering me because I had knowledge of sin. But see, today, I found those young men would come into the prison. They had no knowledge of sin. They had never been taken to church. They had loads of, they had never heard nothing. You talk about Jesus. I mean, that was just some kind of far-fetched thing. They had no knowledge of what any of that was even about. And see, we're doing that today. We have generations of people that are raised up. And they have no knowledge of anything like that. They're not taught right or wrong. You know, we have Oprah Winfrey, you know, my truth. This is my truth. There is no truth. It's my, whatever I decide to be true. See, Oprah Winfrey, she's God. She decides her own destiny by what's true. She's going to go to heaven by her own belief. Yeah, but hey, don't realize. Yeah, I can take you through churches and Christians today, they're doing the same thing. Many Christians are secure in their belief, but it ain't Bible. They're secure in their belief. See, I'm not secure. The Bible tells me that I know I'm saved by the witness of the Holy Spirit. It don't say by my belief. If you don't have the witness of the Spirit, that you know that you're a child of God, you got a problem. There's things that it tells us we know, not things we just believe. I know I passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. See, Christians that sit around, well, you know, I know I'm a Christian. See, do you go to church? No, I don't believe you have to be a Christian, go to church. I think you'll be, oh, you don't have to love the brethren. You don't have to associate with the brethren. You don't have to do that. I see. Yeah, I understand that. I'm sorry. That's unscriptural. It says, I know I passed from, it's funny. You usually like to hang out with the people you love. Last time I checked, you know. So I always say about this, I can tell my wife I love her all I want, but if I'm living with another woman, she ain't falling for it. We love the brethren. Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. See, people are disobedient to the word. They don't, see, there's things that I know. I have, from the time that I got born again, I have always desired to be around the brethren. I always have desired to be in church. I've always desired to those kind of things. Now, I know there's a lot messed up in the church world today, but still, it's the best group to belong to. The rest of them are going to hell. I think I'm going to hang out with a bunch that's going to heaven. I think that's who I want my closest friends to be. I think they're the ones I want to be the closest to. Now, my great desire is to bring other people into that fellowship with Christ. You know, let's make a bigger family. We want to do that. We want to make a bigger family. But see, they got to be born into it. They got to understand what it takes. Because there's one thing. A person will not walk any better in a Christian walk than the knowledge they have. And today, it is so frivolous. It is so messed up. And it shouldn't be like that. Because the knowledge of the Word is so great and so wonderful. It will change lives. My God, change lives if it will be preached in the glory that it is. And so we want to do that. It's just like with those young men. No conscience. It's a scary thing when you're living. See, this we look at, if you sit down, look at the news, all the things. You know, if you know, and people, you know, people's beliefs about things, you know, that people believe differently. You go out here, you know, people killing each other in the street, shooting each other, doing all kind of stuff going on, all these things going on. But see, the man without the knowledge of sin, what would we expect? See, our laws used to be based on the fact of what the Bible said was sin. But those days have gone. I mean, our judges are sometimes as bad as the criminals in dealing with things. But see, why? There's no law. There's nothing measured. See, when man can see how sick he is, he starts... Well, I need a doctor. You know, the guy that just got a little sniffle and a cold, but you know, the guy that finds out he got cancer and dying, he's probably looking a lot more for a doctor. When you see how sinful you really are, see, when I came to the knowledge of how sinful I was, I started looking for a savior. We aren't looking for a savior today because the churches are not preaching sins anymore. You just got problems now. You don't have sin, you got problems. Well, you know, And your problem is you've had a bad life. Your mom and dad treated you bad. The reason your problem is, and they got all these things that they find, they never put it down to says, it don't matter what your mom and dad might have been, the ugliest people in the world, but if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to the same place they're going. We won't tell them that. No, we can't do that to people. It'll hurt their feelings. See, we have the church today as a sympathetic, pathetic thing that wants people to like them. And it's not geared toward people being saved. It's trying to get everybody to like us. I'm going to tell you, people are going to like me a whole lot more than I got them into heaven than I told them I liked them. And they like me. They're going to be much happier on that deal. And so I'm thank God for the honesty that we have. There's the law, and we were looking at the law. Paul wrote, we talked about the law. If you read Romans, the 7th chapter, we taught there where the apostle Paul talked about what it was like as a sinner. He said, I was alive to God once, but he said the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. He went on to tell what it was like as a sinner. He said, I wanted to do right, but I couldn't do right, no matter how hard I tried. Why? Because the flesh dominated him and ruled him. He couldn't do nothing about it. No matter how good he wanted to be, he could never meet the mark of goodness. And see, that's what the whole thing of it is. Today we have a world trying to meet this mark of goodness. People, well, I determined that this is a good thing to do, and I'll do this. And then they shoot to do that, and they think, well, I'm being a good person. Well, you know, it might be nice, and it might not be. It doesn't matter. But you ain't getting to heaven that way. There's only one way to go to heaven. And then Paul wrote, went on to write, and I said, we got to watch reading our Bibles in chapters and verses, because our New Testament is made of letters written. They weren't written in chapters and verses. Chapters and verses were put in there for study purposes so you could find things where they were. But they're written, they're letters. And chapter 8 of Romans is part of the same letter. And it shouldn't have chapter 8 because it's the same subject. Paul was talking about the fact of now being a Christian, coming to Christ. He said, who can deliver me from this? And it said, thank be to God, Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he talks about the difference between the Christian and the sinner. And he deals with the fact, because he said, over here in this place of the flesh when I was in the world, because of the flesh dominated me, I couldn't do anything. Then Paul wrote in chapter 8 and said this. He talked about the Christian. He said, the Christian is not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He said, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But see, if you don't, he said, if you're not, you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. See, there's a distinction between the world. We don't preach that today. We preach no distinction. Everybody's the same. Christians say, to sinners, I'm just like you. I'm not just like the sinner. I am a new creation. I am not like the sinner. I do not have the nature of the sinner. See, I can't identify. You can't get born again and walk around and say, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. If you got saved, you ain't an old sinner. All old sinners are going to hell. All old sinners are lost. You're a child of God. You became a new creation. See, the world's looking for a change, and we're offering them only what they got. You're going to accept Jesus, get your sins forgiven, and still be the rotten scumbag you were. Is that what it is? You're just, and then preachers preach, you're just going to sin. I remember as a young Christian hearing preachers say that, you're just going to sin. And I used to think, boy, the Apostle Paul had a lot of nerve writing letters telling people to straighten out, and you're just going to sin anyhow. Who does he think he is? Telling us to straighten out when we can't. And I used to think, you know, somebody's preaching wrong, and I don't think it's the Bible. I accepted Christ. My life was no longer sin-driven. It wasn't sin-driven. This is why I don't understand people who say they have their sin-driven lives and telling me they're a Christian. I just like, I'm sorry, you ain't the same Christian I am. We're definitely two different camps. We don't have a sin-driven life. I have a conscience bothers me if I sin. Thank God. You know, that's the most wonderful thing that you have is that fact. You know, people today are trying to get praise. You should never have a guilty conscience. I'm going to tell you what, if you do wrong, your conscience is there for that purpose to make you feel guilty. Nobody ever repented who don't feel guilty. And this whole idea that we don't want anybody to feel upset, or we don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt. Well, I'm sorry. You can't have Christianity in heaven, because the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. We ain't going to like the Holy Ghost, and the church don't. They done threw him out long time ago. He ain't allowed in the door. Why? He makes us uncomfortable. Because you know what? He'll teach the knowledge of sin, and we don't want that. We feel uncomfortable. I want to be able to live in sin and feel good. That's what the seeker-friendly church is about. You come here, you can live in sin and feel good. We love everybody. I love everybody. I don't care how perverted. I love everybody, but I'm sorry. No matter how much I love, it doesn't change anything about their destiny. Changes nothing. Changes nothing about their destiny. And so we want to love people. That's why we preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So we were talking about this area, and we want to look. Last week we went, there's two Greek words that are in the Bible. The one we talked back when we started teaching this series, and that was a Greek word called soteria. Soteria actually is it pronounced. So they call it, say, a lot of people say it soteria, but it's actually soteria. It is a Greek word that is most of the time is salvation. It's mostly people, it's translated with one word in the Bible, salvation. And in talking about that, we talked about that word, and this is really important because of what salvation is. It was used, the word salvation, this Greek word, in fact, there was a Greek goddess who had this name. It was a Greek goddess. And she was the god who was supposed to save and deliver people. You know, she was. And it was actually, that was a word. The word was used in the Greek language, and if you, what they do is lots of times people just look and say, well, how's it used in the Bible? Well, you find out more about how a word was used is how was it used in those days in documents and how people used them in the regular vernacular. Because number one, these letters went to people, and they wrote them, so they would look at it to how they were heard it used. And the use of this word in the Greek language, is it means to rescue or deliver from danger, destruction, or peril. It's the idea of restoration to a state of safety, soundness, health, well-being, as well as preservation from danger of destruction. And see, in the class of sin, that's what sin put man in that. Sin brought everything into the earth. You know, there was never sickness in the earth till sin came. And see, this is one of the things. Is this why we say Jesus came as a healer? Why did he come as a healer? Because he was going to deliver men from the consequences of sin. Consequences of sin, sickness was one of them. See, if preachers preach today and say, well, you know, God don't always heal today. Well, then he don't always save today. See, we need to get down. See, the whole thing is healing's in salvation. It's all through the New Testament, but we preach a gospel without it now. See, all you got is forgiveness of sin. Because see, all this other stuff out of here, you know, this doesn't make sense. Why would God use a word that means all these different things, that it speaks of that, but it don't mean it, what it says? Well, he could have picked a lot of other Greek words to use for that. Salvation was a terrible word for them to use. Because see, we use it, we translate it just one word. Actually, that can't be translated as one word. Because it engulfs the whole man. When we look at Jesus, Jesus' ministry to people was to deliver people from everything. Everything that hurt or harmed. That's what he did. You know, never one time. You know, Jesus said, I never do anything the Father don't do, and I never say anything the Father don't say. He said, whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. Never one time did a person come to Jesus and say, you know, I've come for healing. He'd say, well, no, God has you sick for a reason. Because if there is ever such a thing, then God and Jesus are the biggest frauds we have on the earth, because Jesus didn't portray the Father. He hid part of what the Father was. He didn't show it all to us. You see, we need to get clear of this up concerning salvation. This is why our salvation is better. The Bible says himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It says in the New Testament. But the church don't believe that. Well, that was just for Jesus back then. Who cares if it was then back then? I don't want that Jesus. I don't want that Jesus from back then. Because if he ain't going to give me what do for them, did they have better under the law than you get under grace? You see, because salvation is so huge. See, salvation is deliverance from troubles, problems, whatever could harm or hurt. Salvation is about deliverance. Well, then we had a word we ended with, we talked about last week, is the word to save. What does save mean? And see, we have all through the New Testament. We're going to, as we go on through this teaching, we're going to go through a bunch of places in the New Testament where these words are used, and you could see them in the context that they're used in. They're translated other words. And so, you know, that's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved. It didn't say read to show yourself approved. It said study. People don't study the Bible. They just read it. Because there's a lot about the Bible you want to study to find out. Just because something seems to say something, is that really what it's saying? Is it? See, we need to know. Well, there's a word that in the Bible, it's called sozo. It's S-O-Z-O. It's a Greek word, but it's pronounced sozo. That word in there is another Greek word that deals in the area saved. And this is another one of those, just a wonderful word. It's a great word. The word there, to save, it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to secure from danger or destruction. Sounds a lot like Satoria. Okay, it says, to save one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save and rescue. And then it also means to save in the technical biblical sense, and that means this, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. See, if you look through scriptures, this word is used in those contexts all the time. Many times Jesus said, you were made well. It's the word sozo. And see, we turn around next time, let's go over here and say save. Like in James. James writes and says, and he's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. He said, anoint him with oil and prayer. He said, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will, but there it says a bunch of translations, King James, New King James. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. All kind of other places. Now, he's talking about the sick getting healed. I often thought, what the heck did those guys turn around and put the word saved in there? It's not talking about salvation of any sort. It's talking about the sick getting healed. Because that same word with a woman with the issue of blood made well, she was sozo. It's the word sozo. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. It's sozo. See, we throw everything over there. We see the word saved. The first thing we think of, what do we think? Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. You know what? You go up to a person today that has cancer and say, you know, your sins are forgiven. And if I look at you like, you idiot, I need healed. That's what I need. When the church has no more to offer to the world than what the world already has, why would they want the world? Why would we want to have churches with rock concerts in them, with light shows and smoke machines in the church? The world does a better job of it than the church does. If I wanted to see a good show, we'll go to the world. Why do we want the cheap one at the church? Worshiping God is not supposed to be a spectacle to be seen with the eye. And that's... Actually, most Christians would do them better if they came and put blindfolds on them when they went to church. So they worship, get off the sin and get more over into the worship. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read you something. Let's go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter. We're going to look at something because we're going to begin to look at today. There's no way to be able to go through the whole thing. But Galatians, the 3rd chapter, we're going to look at because see, there's always the contrast between the law and salvation, but God's salvation. There's always the correlation you'll find in Scripture. You go all through Scripture where Paul wrote things about the law. Now here, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. Now the Galatian church that he's writing to are mostly Jews. They're mostly Hebrews. Now what has happened to this church is this. They have gotten persecuted by the other Jews. You will find this out even today, till this time. If you get a Jewish person to accept Jesus Christ, the other Jews, you know, it's a funny thing. I had a Jewish guy tell me this personally, and he said, being Jewish and accepting Jesus, he said, is a very strange thing. He said, I could have accepted any other religion and my parents would have accepted me. But you accept Jesus Christ and they hate it. See, it's about Jesus. It isn't about religion with them at all. Most Jews don't practice Judaism anyhow. They don't practice it anyway. If you went to Israel today, most Jews are in Israel are atheists. We always deal with the fact if you go to Israel, there's this big religious place. It is not. Most Jews ain't got a thing to do with you. They don't go to synagogue. They don't go to none of that. They don't do none of those things. They are only Jews by physical birth. That's all they are. They're just Jew by physical birth. Has nothing to do with worshiping God or following God. They don't follow the law. They don't follow, most of them don't follow anything. See, more Christians, see, Christianity is the tourist thing in Israel. And the Christians go there, they're the ones going to see all the stuff. The Jews don't go to none of that stuff. They don't have to care about none of that stuff. We take all the money over there, spend the money. Now, I'm not against the Jews. I love the Jews. Thank God. Wouldn't have been for faithful Jewish people. We wouldn't have had the Messiah and we wouldn't have, thank God. I love the Jewish nation. I pray for Israel. I want Israel blessed. Well, let's get real. Let's don't lie about things. I get these preachers and they lie like, you know, Israel's some kind of top shelf things religion. It is not. Dear Lord, you know, we have to lie about nothing. Hallelujah. They need delivered just like we did. They need saved. We're going to find out about some of this. Now in Galatians, the third chapter, and I've started verse 1, this is why Paul opens up and says, oh foolish Galatians. Why? They're getting persecuted. They're going back under the law because they're getting persecuted for accepting Jesus. Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you being made perfect by the flesh? See, this is interesting because Paul said, are you being made perfect by the flesh? Because Paul had written to the Romans in Romans the 8th chapter in verse 9, he said to them, he said, if the Spirit of God's in you, in other words, if you're a saved person, your Spirit of God's in you, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But he said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So he's making mention here of this. You'd be made perfect by the flesh. Because Paul said, see, the flesh, he had the flesh problem when he's in the world. That's the flesh problem. See, the flesh can't give you the things of God. It can't give you the things. That's what today is. A lot of the church world is over in the areas of flesh. Christians are over in the areas of flesh. Most Christians, and whether people like to hear it or not, they pray by the flesh. They look at what's going on around them and they pray according to what they see going on. You know, I heard a minister one time and he said this and I thought, poor guy. He said he looks at the news so he can find out what to pray about. I thought, dear God, he has the Holy Ghost and he's looking at Fox News or some other, maybe CNN, to find out what he needs to pray about. You look to the heathens to find out what you're supposed to do. As many as are led by the devil, these are the sons of God. Well, you've got these ungodly people. Well, who are they led by? And if you're following them, who are you led by? We're not led by the news media says something. How much has the news media lied to us about stuff? Well, then how on earth can you live? You don't look the world to find out what you're supposed to. The Bible tells me things I'm supposed to pray about, and there are things that the Holy Ghost will speak to me personally. I know by sensing me, I need to pray in a certain area. You need to do it. That's what you do. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, I don't care what the rest of them are doing. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got the Holy Ghost in us. Well, now we have here. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does he do it? You see, they were under the law. They had none of the things that they had as a Christian. They didn't have the grace of God working in their life. They had people. Why? Their salvation got them healed and delivered. Well, see, they didn't get that under the law. See, they saw manifestations of God. See, today we have church in America and Christianity without manifestation. And that's the norm for most Christians. Most Christians, that's the norm. God never shows up. We talk about it. We say we believe, yes, on paper. But in reality, not so much. We know this from a fact that the law can't save. It can't deliver or set men free from Satan's dominion in the earth. The law will never do it. Laws and rules won't do it. Because laws and rules will come down to this, whoever feels they do the best. You know, well, I'm keeping law pretty good, so I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I haven't shot anybody lately, and I didn't choke my mother, and so things are looking up. I'm doing pretty good now, and haven't cheated on my wife for 2 weeks. You know, we're getting really good now. You know, that's the law, you know. So you say, oh, I'm improving. I'm improving! Yes, 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 yes. And see, you measure that, and your righteousness is measured by you on what you see going on. That's the righteousness of the law. See, that can't deliver or save you. Sin will dominate you. Sin will rule over you. Now, let's look at this. One of the things I want to say is Paul. This is Paul talking about the law. I don't care if you can do the law perfect. Listen what Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians, the third chapter. I'm going to Philippians, the third chapter in verse 4. Listen to what Paul said. He said, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Now see, he's talking about in the flesh. This is him as a sinner, because Paul wrote, said he's not in the flesh, but he's in the spirit, because the spirit of God's in him. But see, he's going to talk and relay to us about what it was like as him as a sinner, what he was. He says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, he said, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Can you imagine? Paul said he was perfect concerning the law. And you know where he's going to go? To hell. He's lost. Why? Well, hang on. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. See, there's a right, everybody has, you have to have a righteousness. And to get in the presence of God, you need a righteousness. And there's only one righteousness that God accepts, and that's His righteousness. That's the only one He'll accept. You have to be as righteous as God is to get in His presence. And here's how you get it. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Think about that. You and I got a righteousness by faith. It's God's righteousness. Nobody stands in the presence of God righteous unless it's through His righteousness. Your conduct, even as a Christian, we're called as Christians to do good works. We're called to do good things. You can never approach God on that basis. I don't care how good you do. I don't care how great you think you are. You can only approach God on the basis of His righteousness. And that can only be had by faith. That's the only way you can have righteousness. You and I can't stand before God other than righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. That is the righteousness of God. Through faith, you and I stand in the presence of God based upon His righteousness, not ours. And that's why I say good works. Good works. Or I remember, a minister making us a big name minister. You know, he's talking about people giving money and stuff. He said, you believe God for money. Things aren't working. Go to God and pray and go take before Him your giving and what you've been doing. You can't take your works before God. I can't take my giving before God. God doesn't give to me on the basis of my giving. He gives to me on the basis of my faith. If He starts giving to me on the basis of my works, He done throughout grace, and He took up law. He ain't going to do that. Thank God for good works. But in the presence of God, faith is what counts, not righteousness by works. And see, this is where most of the big Christian failure is. That's why most Christians can only believe over here in this little area of forgiven sin, because they keep trying the rest of it. They keep trying to get the rest of God on the basis of works, and it's always failed them, so they just gave it all up. And let's just take forgiveness of sin and just have that. I can believe for that one. They threw the rest of it out. Because see, faith is based in righteousness. You can never, as a Christian, you can never approach God unless you feel you have a right to stand before Him to do it. If your conscience bothers you, see, if you feel you're unrighteous, your conscience is going to bother you. And you're wasting your time praying. You're wasting your time before God because you can't operate in faith. It's getting church to the place of it is that through faith, God counts me as righteous. When I, through faith in Christ Jesus, I can stand in the presence of God as if I have done nothing wrong. Now, He doesn't look at me in the face. It isn't about me. It's about Christ Jesus. He looks and He sees me in Christ Jesus. That's what He sees me. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm operating in faith in His own righteousness. Yeah, I want you to think about this. The Bible talks about us having the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we have the righteousness of God. Now, think about this. God says we're as righteous as He is. Well, you want them to throw you out of churches. They'll throw you out of churches for that. Because, oh man, that's heresy. Don't matter if the Bible says it. It doesn't matter. The Bible is not what's important. Our religious beliefs are what's important. And I'm going to tell you what. You can't control people if they can think freely. Oh, you're going to need me if you want to be saved. So you're going to have to hang. You better give me your money. See, you'll be all right then, you know. It's about control. What did the Jews do with Jesus? It was about control. Hey, God keeps it up. Everybody's going to follow Him. They're going to leave us. Hold it. We can't have that. We'll start killing people to get what we want. And that's what religion's always done. Religion will kill you. Don't worry. If anybody's on the top of the list for killing, religion will be there. They'll be killing people to keep their religion. You know? Why, you can't be the righteous God. Well, that's heresy. Well, the Bible says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, gee, guess they lied to us. And then they go through all the things telling you the Bible is true and that stuff. Yeah, as long as you don't believe it. See, but understand this. Most of the Bible is believed on paper, but not in reality. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? It's just like the miracles of Jesus. We believe in miracles as long as they're on paper, but you start them showing up, and you know what? There's ministers who just get mad. I've had ministers in this town get upset because people got healed and delivered and got mad. Dear Lord. They said, well, the devil did it. I'm going to tell you, if the devil will heal people and God won't, let's go to the devil. Dear Lord. See, that preacher would go to any doctor in the world, don't care if he's the devil's second cousin. He would run to that doctor if he needed help. But then complain about if somebody went and got healed somewhere. You see, there's a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of craziness going on out here. It's hypocrisy. See, you know what a hypocrite is? Do you really know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite's an actor. That's what he is. If you go back to the beginning use of the word, that's what they called actors, were hypocrites. They played a part of somebody they weren't. My God, we got a lot of that. I don't care what people say. I'm a preacher, and I tell you, I know things are going on around preachers. There's a lot of hypocrites when it comes to preachers. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you just as what Apostle Paul said. That Jesus told the people about the Pharisees. He told the people, he said, listen to what they say, just don't do what they do. See, they were preaching right things, but they weren't living right things and doing right things. Boy, there's a lot of that. A lot of that. Hallelujah. Well, God's great. Now, I want you to see this here because we're going to go over into Galatians. We'll go over into there. Galatians, the third chapter in verse 6. We're going to pick up there. We stopped at 5. We're going to go to 6. Because when you see this, one of the things you need to see and understand is because the whole thing is we're laying the foundation for how wonderful salvation really is. All that God provided for us. Now, listen to this. Verse 6. Now, we just had the little discourse about the law. We just had that discourse about the law. Now, listen to what Paul says then. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, he believed God. Righteousness is always by faith. When you approach God, always go to God by faith in Christ Jesus on what He did. Go on Jesus' performance and not yours. Hey, you'll always do good. Isn't it wonderful? See, that's what God did. God made it so you and I could step into His presence on the performance of Jesus Christ. Now you talk about good news. That's good news. Do they preach that? No. You're just an old sinner, saved by grace. You can present yourself in the presence of God based on Jesus' performance. Isn't that nice? Hallelujah. Why? You're in Him. See, we believe those words, well, you know, we're in Christ Jesus. I often wonder what people mean when they say that. To me, as I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm in His body, I'm part of Christ Jesus. That's, you know, other than that, how could I be in Him? Is there any other way? I don't know. I'm in Him. So, when I stand before God, I must do it by faith. Hallelujah. Now listen, you're supposed to know this, that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Did you know that? Do you know physically born Jews are not sons of Abraham? Paul just said, now Paul's a Jew. Is he just trying to? You see, we need to understand this. See, this goes the whole way back to the beginning. When God told Abraham, He went and showed him how many descendants we'd have. And He showed him the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. See, He was going to have a heavenly bunch and an earthly bunch. The earthly bunch aren't His kids. They're just physical descendants. There's a faith group. And that's the heavenly group. Is the faith group. You see, we don't like to have us doing, this is not knocking Jews, this is just the way it is. This is God's plan and how He did it. God made a family, and the only ones that are in His family are the ones who have faith like Abraham had faith in God. Faith always puts you in the family of God. Faith in God. Now we're talking about faith in God. Now people say, well, Jews believe in God. Yeah, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. You can't get saved in believing in God. Now, so we're told here, he said, know that only this. He's writing to Galatians. He's writing to Jews and told them, hey, you're not a son of Abraham unless you have faith in Christ Jesus. He's writing to Jews and telling them that. Oh, don't say those things today. People will throw you out of the church and do everything else. You know, don't tell them what the Bible says. We have our religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. Paul would never get in a church to preach today. There ain't no way. They wouldn't have him in. He'd tear too much stuff up. Now, listen to this. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith. That word justify there is the exact same word that's translated righteous in other places. Just by study to show yourself proven. See, He's talking about righteousness here by faith, and they took the word and changed it to justify. They should never have done that, because the context is about righteousness, and it should have kept the same word. See, people know what you're talking about. He's talking about righteousness. God would make righteous the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations, a nation shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The blessing of Abraham only comes to those who are in faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to get it. The blessing of Abraham cannot be given on natural offspring. It's on God's offspring through Jesus Christ by faith. That's the only ones that can have it. See, the letters written to the church in the New Testament were not written to the world. It was written to Christians. These letters are for Christians. These letters aren't for the world. They're for the Christian. He's writing to Christians. Do you know every church that these letters were written to? Historically, they know this. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. There was no such thing as a church in those days that wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. People weren't baptized and weren't speaking in other tongues. There was no such church. There was no such church. That's why he's talking about the Spirit and different things. How would they know? They had manifestations of the Spirit. the manifestations of the Spirit. Now listen. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham. So they've got Abraham's blessing. Now listen to what he says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Now understand, he's writing to Jews. What's he telling them? You go back under the law, you're going to go back under the curse. See, you don't want to live by law. Because there's a curse. The law has a curse. Deuteronomy 28. Eventually we're going to get to that. I thought we were going to get to it earlier back in our teaching, but God showed me when to put that deed. But we're slowly going there. What we're doing is laying scripture foundation of this salvation we got. There's a curse. He said, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You know what the curse is? He said, look, the curse. When you get into the law, you got to stay with it. You got to do the whole thing or you're cursed. Well, the real problem with that is, I remember, this goes back years ago, and the Lord had been speaking to me about some things, and he said to me about the law, and he made mention of me. He said, you know what the curse of the law is? Well, see, people say, because the curse of the law was this. Curse of the law, if you go back and read Deuteronomy, really it had separation from God through sin. And it had sickness and disease, poverty, any other kind of evil thing you could think would happen to you. That's a curse. Go back and read it. I think it's from verse 16 of 28 to verse 68 has all the lists of all the curse. And I mean, it is just ugly. That's the curse of the law. And the Lord said to me, do you know what the curse is? And I said, well, Lord, they say this, you know, what it is. But I said, I'm sure it's something else. You're going to say something other than I'm thinking or you wouldn't ask me. There's something I know he's going to give me a revelation. You know what he said the curse of the law is? You can't keep it. Paul was blameless concerning the law, but he couldn't get the curse off of him. He's doing everything, but there's a curse. Can't get away from it. Now, verse 11 here, we read it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Ooh, you think somebody had done figured that out? It's evident. It's evident that righteous, that word justified there means righteous. No one, it says no one is righteous by the law in the sight of God is evident. The just, same word, the righteous shall live by faith. The word just there, same word. Try to say righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now here's a wonderful scripture that you would think that the church would absolutely love and preach it all the time to people, and they don't. Because it doesn't fit our Christianity today. Because we believe God is using sickness and trouble and disease and every bad thing to happen to try to teach us. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Do you realize that Christ was cursed for us? See, when we look at the crucifixion, the church looks at the crucifixion just in a physical standpoint, physically. Now, Christ had to physically die on a cross. He shed blood as a man on the cross. But the curse was what put on his spirit. It wasn't put on. We see manifestations. You know, that's one of the reasons why Jesus died so quickly. They were surprised he died. Usually you're put on a cross, it'd take you days to die. He died quickly. Why? Because he had the curse on him. Every sickness, every disease, and everything evil was on him when he took our sin. See, man under sin. That's why John wrote and said concerning the unbeliever, it says the wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. See, we don't tell the people in the world because seeker friendly, that don't sound good, telling people that the wrath of God's abiding on them. But that's exactly what's happened. Everybody who doesn't accept Jesus Christ is going to have the wrath of God. They're going to face it. They're going to face the wrath of God. They're not going to face a judgment. They're going to face the wrath of God for eternity. We're supposed to tell people, Why? Jesus died so they don't have to. Why? All sin must be judged. Sin that is not dealt with is going to be judged. People who don't receive Christ, the wrath of God abides on them. John wrote it. It's in the Gospel of John. Just part of the Gospel. We don't tell people. Because we're afraid this nice, cute little society we got today doesn't want to deal with anything. See, the Holy Spirit has nothing to convict people of sin of because we're trying to make them feel good, and the Holy Ghost is trying to convict them of sin, and we're in opposition to the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, we grieve the Holy Spirit in the church today more than he gets to do things. We grieve him by going against what the Bible says he wants to do. See, we take the gospel of the world. They need to know that they're in dire shape, a shape terrible, that the wrath of God, they're going to face it. And God sent his son because he's so good to deliver them so they do not have to face the wrath. But you know what? If they don't accept the son, they're going to face the wrath. Why? Because God's going to have to do it. God must follow out his word. There must be righteousness and justice. See, we use the term love. We think love does away with justice. You don't love me or anybody else if you don't like justice. You have no love. That's why we have today. The guy who does evil gets the same justice as the guy who does good. They treat the guy who does good then just as lousy as they treat the guy who does bad. Everybody's in the same boat. That's not justice. That's not righteousness. And that ain't love. We don't love the ones who do good. We love the people today in our nation who do evil. They're the top of the list. Of, let's do something for them. The people do good. Man, you do evil, you get a free lawyer. You do good, they do evil to you. And if you want to do anything about it, you got to buy your own lawyer. That's America and justice. Is that justice? The good guy gets kicked when he's down. And we call it. And see, we wonder, you know, and I tell people today, why do good? Why should the sinner do good? Why should the guy robbing and stealing do good? Why should he do good? The reward's in doing evil. The reward's in evil. And we're supposed to be preaching a gospel telling people about sin. And the church is a partaker of the evil along with these people because they preach it with them. God loves you so much you do evil, it don't matter. We have preachers today. I know preachers that used to preach the truth. Today actually preach messages and tell people everybody goes to heaven no matter who it is. They even say the devil will be in heaven. Actually preach that. People used to preach salvation in Jesus Christ. Actually say that today. Everybody's going to be in heaven. Well, if everybody's going to make heaven, what's the point of living good at all? Let's just go do what we want. My word. Go live any old lifestyle you want to live. Because I thought, well, that preacher, he's the biggest liar and fraud. Why would somebody give him money and paying him a paycheck if we don't need him? He's a fraud. You think those stupid people listen to him and wake up. But they're sending money because they're so stupid and deceived just like he is. I wouldn't send no man. If I don't have to live right, I don't need a church. I don't need none of that. Hey, let's save money. Close the doors down. Let's just take all of our money. Go live like hell. Do what we want. We're all going to end up because God loves everybody. Whew. Insane. We're living in a crazy world, folks. We're living in a crazy world. And that's why you got to follow the word. It's the only thing that will keep you sane. Because, you know, if I didn't follow the word of God, I'd hate people. I'd hate all these people. I can't hate them. I got to love them. Yeah, I pray for them. Poor, deceived, messed up people. I love them. I pray for them. You know, people get him to criticize the president. I pray for him. He's on his way to hell. You know, he ain't going to have a bad day if he don't get to Jesus and get a changed life. He's going to go in eternal damnation, eternally. He'll be in the lake of fire. I don't want him and his family to end up there. You know, we might think people did good enough, you know what I mean, to end up in jail, but it's another thing for eternal punishment. I don't want people, you know, it's one thing to go to jail for 20 years, but it's a whole different ball game to go to eternal judgment forever. Punishment never stops. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around that. And I don't try to wrap my mind around it. I can't figure it. But this I know, God's righteous and He's just. And if He said that had to be done, then that's what has to be done. And His Word, we see that. That's why it's so desperate that we stop and tell people, hey, don't keep going the road you're going. That's why the Lord told me years ago, He said, you're a flagman on the highway. I called you to be a flagman on the highway. I said, Lord, people don't like flagmen. They hate them. People don't want to be slowed down. I said, Christians don't even like getting slowed down. They don't like it. You know, they're gonna drive off the cliff no matter what. They're gonna keep flying. And I said, when you step out there and you wave the flag, they're gonna curse you on the way by. I said that. But I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna keep waving the flag. I'm gonna keep waving the flag. We gotta keep waving the flag. That's what we gotta do. You know, I'm not in a popularity camp. I don't care if they don't like me. I just want to like Jesus. If they hate me as a flagman, that's fine. Just take Jesus and have a good time. As long as you get to heaven, that's what I'm interested in. Hallelujah. Let's get people saved and in heaven. Hallelujah. But we find out here, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus Christ was cursed with every curse that is listed in Deuteronomy came upon Him. Every curse. All the curse of the law fell upon Him. I cannot imagine what His judgment or His punishment must have been like of 3 days. I cannot imagine. Because of what He did, we don't face that judgment. I mean, that's phenomenal to me. I mean, us all here as individuals. Just me individually. He took all the judgment and the curse that was supposed to come upon me. The wrath of God that was upon me, He took upon Himself. You see, He had to pay the price for me, and the price was the wrath of God. That was the price. But He did it for everybody. I mean, I cannot imagine. And He did it for all humanity. You know, I've often said this, and you guys have heard me. I've often wondered when a person dies and goes to hell and realizes what Jesus Christ did for them and sees the salvation that He did, that they're in hell. They're there in punishment that He took the judgment for them, but they wouldn't receive it. How sad to know that you're under punishment that you didn't have to take. To living eternity knowing that you're under judgment you would have never had to take. There's one already took it for you. That's why I want to tell people, don't go. Don't go there. Don't go to that place. Don't do that. You don't have to. The price was already paid. See, He says here, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, redeem, the word redeem just means in English, it means to buy back, or it means to get or win back. It's to free from that, from what distresses or harms, such as like to free from the captivity by payment of ransom. In other words, if you were held captive as something, somebody kidnapped you and there's a ransom, they paid that ransom, whatever it is to get you back. And this is what Jesus did. Extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental, to release from the blame of debt, to free from the consequences of sin, is to repair, restore, to free from a lien, a payment on amount of secure thereby, to remove the obligation by payment. In other words, our payment of sin was so enormous and so great, no human being that was on the earth other than Jesus Christ could pay the price for it. Nobody. Nobody could pay. No one could do it. No one. The redemption. You couldn't do it. We weren't redeemed by gold and silver. There wasn't. The wealth of the earth could not have done it for one person. And Jesus Christ did what He did to redeem all. See, this is what, you'll find this all the in the New Testament. Paul wrote, would say, you know, concerning the church and talk about us that we're redeemed and we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. And the church always just forgets the redemption part and goes over the forgiveness of sin. What are you redeemed from? See, this is the whole thing that you need to understand. This is what redemption is. Redemption's always mentioned first before forgiveness of sin, and we took the latter and made that the big deal of the church. Redemption's the big thing. What are you redeemed from? Because we were studying, one of the things we studied, whatever God takes you from something, He puts you in something else. We're redeemed from sin. Well, where did He put me at? I was taken from something and I was put into something. If I was taken from the curse, I'll tell you where I'm at. It tells me in Scripture, we read, we're in the blessing. Go to Deuteronomy 28 and read down to chapter 13 and it'll tell you all the blessings you have. And there's more blessings than just forgiveness is in. All those blessings, we're in the blessing. Of Abraham. Blessing Abraham. He was blessed going in and coming out. He was the head and not the tail. He was above and not beneath, wasn't he? Hey, look at Abraham's life. That's what he was. Why? Abraham didn't have a covenant of law. He had a covenant of promise. That's what you and I got. Our covenant is a promise covenant. It's not based on law. It's based on the promise of God, of what God did in Christ Jesus, made us righteous. We stand before God. There's no curse on us. Hallelujah. In this world, there's a curse, but it ain't on the church. The church has received it and taken it like it's part of our life, and we should just have it. We should just be just like the rest of the world. Just live under the curse. Just be cursed, you know. Well, you know, when the last apostle died, then all the power of God left. Say, dear Lord, I don't want to live today. Let me live back then. I want to be living around when it was decent, was good. Say, we got a secondhand salvation to mostly what's preached. We don't have a secondhand salvation. Jesus Christ, the Bible, He changes not. God ain't changed. Hallelujah. Salvation, the word salvation has never changed. It still means deliverance. It still means from whatever ails, whatever problem, whatever's holding you, it'll deliver you. See, I was an alcoholic, and I got delivered from alcohol by accepting Jesus Christ. But see, then I had salvation preached to me that I'd get delivered. I didn't need a 12-step program. I had a God program because, see, I was told that I would be delivered, that God's Jesus Christ would deliver. He's delivered. He'll deliver me from that. I wasn't told I would just get forgiveness of sin. I was told I'd become a new creation. I was going to be a changed man. That's exactly what happened. You see, I couldn't have had faith for none of that if I hadn't been told it. If all I'd have preached, I'd have got forgiveness of sin. That's all I could have believed for. And I would have turned around and just fought my life trying to get rid of alcohol. Trying to go through works. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. See, we need to come. We need to preach the full gospel. Why? Because the world is full of addicts. And not just addicts from drinking and drugging. This world is addicted to anything and you can think of people are addicted to. You know, there's people out here, they're addicted to entertainment. They just got to go doing stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, they're just as bound by the devil as the addict is. They can't stay away from nothing either. We're in an addicted world. And you know what? There's loads of people who would like to stop things in their life. They're like Paul wrote in Romans, the 7th chapter. He said, hey, I wanted to do good, but I couldn't. I tried to do good, but I couldn't. I know what he's talking about. You know how many times I wanted to quit drinking? And man, I'd do it at least until I got off work. And then went and got down there and got drinking again. I'll tell you what. I was sincere. I wanted to do that. You know, I came to the place where I said to the Lord before I accepted Jesus, I said, if I have to quit drinking, because you need to quit drinking and change your life. And Christians would tell me that. And I said, the Lord, if I have to quit drinking to get saved, I can never get saved. And I'll never forget this. I was a sinner. And a voice said to me, who told you that? And I had to tell him it was your Christian people. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you look and read in the New Testament and tells you that you're drinking and that stuff, you can't get saved. He said, you show me that in Scripture. That's what the Lord said to me. I started reading the Bible. Couldn't find it. See, that little salvation message they have about that big. And they're preaching it to people and holding people in bondage. It was about 2 weeks later. I came home from work and I Wanda was in bed. I was in second shift, and I kneeled down by a sofa in the living room, and I accepted Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, you talk about a changed life. I mean, I was astounded at it. I mean, I just couldn't believe I was the same guy. I just couldn't believe. But see, I was told that I just believe what the Bible said. You know, I'm a new creation. And you know what? And it's like I always tell you. See, Wanda wasn't a Christian. She wasn't saved, my wife. And the Lord told me, He said, you don't preach to her. Don't say anything to her because He said, she don't trust you anyhow. Well, she had every right not to trust me. I was a nut. And anyhow, when she did get saved, and the whole thing is, see, it's this way. See, I believe in Christianity is a changed life. Because when I asked her, I came home one night from work and I said, she met me right at the door. That wasn't what she normally did. She met me at the door and she said, I accepted Jesus tonight. And I said to her, I said, well, why'd you do that? She said, because I'm living with a different man. See, I don't know Christianity that don't change people. I don't know such gospel. I don't know. I can't identify with people getting saved and just on and off. They're just the same old life. But I know this. Many people never hear the gospel and they make a mental ascent, but they can't do any more than that because they haven't. Then the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with them for them to believe and change their life because all they got was, Jesus will forgive your sin. Jesus will forgive anybody their sin. He's already proved that with the cross. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus Christ changes people. He takes people that are full of death and devil and turns them into children of God. That's what Jesus does. That's what my Jesus does. My Jesus ain't that other little weak, wimpy old thing that they're preaching around here. Is an old get by till Jesus comes back and He'll have to drag us off the earth because things will just get so bad and we just can't take it and we'll be whining and crying. So He'll have to come and haul us off. Bible says come for a glorious church. He ain't coming for an old beat up whore. He's coming for a glorious church. Hallelujah. He's going to come for a church that's preaching the gospel. I'll tell you, He's coming for a church that people believe He's a big God. Hallelujah. That God will fulfill His word and He'll do what it says and we can trust in Him. And we're not going under with Him. We're going over. Hallelujah. We're leaving this world with a shout of glory. We're not leaving this world here. He don't have to come this whole bunch of stupid stuff. He's going to make us disappear and it'll just be a pile of clothes. Scripture don't even teach those nonsense. Said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We're going to watch the dead rise. The world's going to watch the dead rise. Didn't say nobody's disappearing. Then we as alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together. There's a catching up together. You want me to tell you what? They're going to watch us leave. Hallelujah. The world's going to see the church leave. When Elijah left, did they see him leave? Sure enough. We know that they knew Enoch left and had to see him because the Bible says God took him. How could they know God took him if nobody saw anything? Hallelujah. The righteous never leave without a show. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It said there's a trumpet going to sound. There's going to be a loud blast. It ain't going to be a 2-second thing and, you know, we're gone. Hey, that stuff sold a lot of books. But it wasn't true. It wasn't Bible. People believe it. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. Bob says we'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling eye. Don't say we will be taken in a moment in a twinkling eye. We'll be changed. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for that change. When I get this dumb flesh I got off of me and put on the glorified body that's like Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you talk about glory. Now that's going to be glorious. Never again will we ever be tempted in the flesh again. See, the flesh is what our problem is. That's what our problem is, our flesh. That's why we need to walk around and start saying more what the Bible says. We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. Paul said, you're in the Spirit. He didn't say you're in the flesh. He said, you're in the Spirit. And you know what the churches had preached to them? You're just in the flesh. You're just going to sin. They preached contrary to the Bible and wonder why people can't make it. Hallelujah. Thank God we're making it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to be taken off this earth and they're going to see the church go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not going to be. I've known from the time I was first born again it wasn't going to be like it. These guys would turn around and sit and talk that stuff and I used to think, I can read. I can read. I can read words. I know what they say. They don't matter what they say. I don't care what these guys say. I don't care how big of a crowd they got. I learned this over the years. Usually the guys with the biggest crowds lots of times are wrong. Do you know why they get wrong and they do it? Because nobody ever checks them out. Because people will follow a man. I thank God. That's what I always thank God concerning Kenneth Hagin. He taught us to follow the Word. See, you follow the Word. You follow the Word. Always make sure you follow the Word. Follow the Word. If anything I can, I always thank God He directed me to the Word. The thing that holds the highest standard with me is the Word of God. There is no man. Jesus Christ is the living Word. How on earth can we take the Word and put it in any lower class or anything and say we uphold Jesus? You can't uphold Jesus and put the Word down here somewhere because He is the Word. You ain't going to go wrong following the Word. Hallelujah. You're not going to go wrong following the Word. Just stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when I could just go on and preach, I'll tell you, I've been studying this stuff, and I'll tell you, I love the Word so much because it's so good. That's why I can just say, our salvation is greater than it's been preached. It's more wonderful. It's more glorious than it's been preached. God has offered so much to the church, but the church has accepted just a little part of it. You know, we need to accept that this is true. It doesn't matter what I think about it. It doesn't matter. It's what the Word of God is true. I mean, think about yourself, redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed. Amen. Been redeemed. We're going to go over next week and look concerning the blessing. We're going to look at some things because we need to walk in the light of a blessing and walk in the light of it and have that to offer to people. See, a lot of people do what they do today. They really are living lives, trying to get whatever they can get. You know, why do people follow the government? Well, a lot of that has to do with the church. It's because the church keeps offering people. I mean, we go out here. People don't even... I've had ministries and ministers in this town I've talked to. People who refuse to go to work, and they're feeding them. And they won't... And I want to talk to them about it. You got... This guy, you know, won't work. Well, you got to take care of people. See, well, hold it. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But who cares what the Bible says? You know, I will help anybody who's doing something I can help them with. Amen. But if you ain't doing nothing, there ain't anything for me to help you with. Right. You know, people need to get used to it in the church because the Holy Ghost is exactly the same way. If you ain't doing nothing, He does nothing for you. The Holy Ghost is your helper. He's not your doer. If you ain't doing anything, I've learned this over time. This is why some people, they say, well, I'm waiting for God, this, forget it, it ain't going to ever happen, you ain't going to ever see it. Because He's a helper. If you're doing something, He'll help you with it. Bible talks about helping in prayer. If I'm praying, He'll help me with my prayer life. But if I ain't praying, He ain't helping me with my prayer life. If I ain't doing, then it ain't going to get no help. I get help from the Holy Ghost when I'm doing something. Today, we run a thing. We have these systems out here that are just so messed up. And so the people look around. Hey, somebody just take care of me. You put about socialism. Well, the church is one of the most socialistic bunches there is. Trying to make everybody equal. I'm sorry, nobody's equal in the kingdom of God. Some people develop and grow and learn how to walk in more blessing than others. And God don't change it. He don't bless people just because they don't have. You know, God's not moved by your need. He's moved by your faith. If God was moved by your need, He'd be living full time over in India. Is that what He does? Does God go to the poorest country in the world and get them all Mercedes? Well, according to the church today, He would. God's not moved by your need. God already did something about your need in Christ Jesus. We have to take a hold of it. We have to walk in by faith. When I respond to God by faith, God's move. Without faith, I can't please Him. That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible, which means it's not possible. It is not possible for you and I to please God without faith. It is not possible. It's not possible. God made the most wonderful thing for you and me. You know what He did? Faith. Because faith is the same playing field for everybody. It's the same for everybody. If works was involved, the playing field might not, somebody might be better at doing something than another person. Everybody is in the same playing field. We can all operate in faith. We can all just trust God or not trust God. That's simple. We can turn, we all have the same choice. And God put it out there, and He don't play favorites with it. He don't play favorites. Yet a lot of Christians get upset over that, because see, they want to have favorites. Well, you know, it isn't right. God blesses you so much, and why don't He do this person over here or that? See, the socialists. If God was fair, He would take what you have and give it to me. If God was fair. When people start using fair, right? I tell you, I got them pegged immediately. Them and the devil are second cousins. They're over this fair. Because that's what the devil will throw the fair. God's not fair. How did God tell me that one time? When I was working at the prison. There was this one guy who's a Satanist. He was a young guy. He was a Satanist. And they called me the preacher. I'm sorry if you ever noticed. I can't help. I just preach. But anyhow, he walks up to me and he goes, God's not fair. He threw Satan out of heaven, and he goes through this whole blah, 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 blah things. And, you know, this is what I love it about, because you always think, you think in your mind what you'd want to do or what you'd want to say to respond. But I want to thank God for the anointing. Because I always love those times. The anointing came on me when he said that. And I just turned around and I looked at him and I said, Satan, I said, you're so foolish. I said, you're here yelling about God being unfair to Satan. And I said, here you are following the loser. Why wouldn't you follow the guy that won? And he just stopped him dead. It must have been the Holy Ghost, because I didn't think it was that smart of a thing to say. But he looked in, he stood there and he looked at me and he said, well, you're right. Why would you follow the loser? So God must have had something to do with it. I don't know. But, see, that's the whole thing. The devil will always bring the fair stuff and doing the things fair. It'll always take the things that God does as unfair. It's not right. It's not right. Faith is this basis. That you're going to believe God. Doesn't matter if you understand. I don't have to understand everything God does to believe Him. And I don't have to understand everything to trust Him. This is one thing as I know about Him. God is always right. He's always just. He's always righteous. And with anything that He does, He will always act in love. I'm guaranteed. So whether or not I understand why certain things are done, or why they do, or what they do, if you really believe He has those qualities, you'll never have a faith problem. People have faith problems because they don't believe God's fair. I don't have a faith problem. The Bible's always right. God is always right. He's always just. He always does what He does in love. And I don't have a faith problem. I know if something doesn't seem right in my mind, it don't matter. God's right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank You this morning. Lord God, these are Your people. And I'm just so glad, Lord God, You bought them. You paid the price for them, Lord God. And they're Yours. You're the one that redeemed them. Hallelujah. They belong to You. Lord, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord, for a people that have called on the name of Jesus, that have desired Jesus. Lord God, that have been hungered, they hungered and thirst for righteousness, and they're being filled. And I'm so thankful, God. God, you're doing a wonderful and great work in them. And Lord God, it's just as it says in the Scriptures, the good work that You started in them, You're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus. Lord God, You never stopped. And I'm so thankful. Lord God, along the way, sometimes we slow down, sometimes we even back up. But Lord God, You never quit. You're always drawing Your people forward. You're always bringing us forward. You're always, Lord God, trying to find a way to reach into our lives, trying to find any way that You can to bring further revelation to us and understanding, Lord God, so that we can walk in blessing. Lord God, this world is blessed because there was a man named Abraham, Lord God, who was our forefather of faith. And Lord God, we walk in blessing today. Because He chose blessing in His day. And Lord God, if he wouldn't have been blessed, there would have been no blessing to send to us. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that you've called us as a people to be blessed. It's because, Lord God, this world cannot be blessed unless we are blessed. We would have nothing to offer them, nothing to give. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you gave us the most blessed gospel, the most glorious gospel. And it's not a gospel just written in a book. But Lord God, it's a gospel that manifests and shows itself in its glory, that reveals Jesus Christ, and it sets men free, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus from the captivities of life. Lord God, Father, the Bible tells us clearly where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, in this last days, we're going to see wonderful manifestations of deliverance, Lord God, from whatever people are addicted, whatever holds them bound, Lord God. They're going to be set free by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Lord God, they're going to not have to wait for someday or wait for some kind of just counselors. Lord God, the power of God will show forth its magnitude and its magnificence in this day and time, Lord God. Lord, that men will walk in glory. Hallelujah. And Father God, that people will say, surely there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Lord God, when Jesus walked the earth and people were set free of things, Lord God, people didn't wonder where it came from. They didn't wonder what happened. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you. It shall be in these days, hallelujah, that God's glory again is revealed in the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the magnificence and glory of Jesus Christ will shine forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, and the captives will be set free in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 We just thank you and praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're the one. You're the one that has delivered us. You set us free from captivity. I want to thank you that sin's not going to rule over us. Sin is not going to dominate over us. Hallelujah. You need to, I just want to say this to you. You need to get that on your voices. We need to start to get on our voices what the scripture says, the things that we face. Many times, it doesn't matter what you believe. If it's not on your voice, it ain't producing a thing. It's not producing anything. Don't matter what you... Nobody ever got saved believing Jesus was Lord and if they didn't confess it. They never got saved. Don't matter what you believe. You had to confess it. Confession's made unto salvation. Don't say believing's made unto salvation. Confess it. You'll bring to pass what's on your mouth. Your mouth... Let me say, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, what you've been saying is what you have in your life. If you don't like what you have in your life, then you better change what you say. Jesus said, Mark 11:23, you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you believe. Said you're going to have what you say. See, we need to get over it. We don't talk about those things. If you have an area of your life where you're dealing, say, with something in your flesh and you're having trouble with, start to confess your freedom from that. See, it don't take any faith to confess you're free once you're free. You know, if I had $1 million in my pocket, it wouldn't take any faith for me at all to confess I'm a millionaire. Would it? Would it take any faith? No, it wouldn't take any faith at all. It sure takes some faith if you're going to start confessing yourself as being a millionaire and you got $2 in your wallet. You know, it's like the Lord spoke to me back in 2014 and told me concerning things. I was talking to him about giving and I said, what I'd like to do. He said, and he told me, he said, your need. He said, what's your need? He said, you need millions to do what you need to do. You need millions. He said, that's what you need. That's your need. Well, see, I knew then I was going to have to start changing my voice and what I'm saying. See, I'm going to change my voice. Because my faith is not going to go further than my voice is. Sitting and listening to people preach on faith don't bring you faith. Faith comes by hearing, but that'll never amount to nothing. It's what you do with it when it comes. Are you confessing what you believe? Are you saying that? Hallelujah. I'm free from sin. Most people are, I'm bound. You know what I mean? I need some counseling. I'm bound in sin. I'm bound. You know, I have this problem. They keep walking. They magnify the problem. They don't stop and say, hey, hold it. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm free. I'm free not because I feel free, not because I'm free because Jesus said I was. So I'm going to agree with Jesus. Jesus said I'm free. Jesus said sin wouldn't lord over me. And I keep talking, sin's lording over me. I got this problem. You know, I got this problem because sin's lording over me. You see, I have this problem with sin lording over me. See, that's what they do. That's what Alcoholic Anonymous and drugs are. You got to stand up every time. I'm a drug addict. I'm a this, I'm a that. You ain't never getting free talking, huh? That's right. You'll be 20 years down the road. I'm a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I can sit in a bar today. Everybody around me can drink. They can do as much as they want. And I have no desire for drinking. Why? Because I'm free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. I don't ever wake up in the morning and say, I need a drink. I don't ever get around. I get around, boy, I'll tell you what. I just wish I could. I don't have that. Why don't I have it? Because whom the Son set free is free indeed. See, what they have is, Jesus said you're going to have what you say. See, you can keep confessing you're bound. You're going to stay bound. See, the flesh wants to go back to the old way, and we have been trained in our psychological society to confess what the flesh wants. The Bible says, say you're free. We say, no, I'm bound. Because psychology says, say you're bound. We're being honest. So speaking the word of God's a lie? Think about that. Is speaking the word of God a lie? The church has made it a lie. You got to speak. Well, I got to speak. You know, I'm just going to tell you what's on my mind. But I tell you, don't do that. Don't ever give them a piece of your mind. You ain't got enough to be given away. Don't do that. No. I would say what's on my mind. Well, sometimes our mind ain't in the right place. Follow your heart. Hallelujah. Your inner man is free. It is not. You're not lying. You're saying your inner man is not bound. That's what you're supposed to live by is the inner man. Faith is out of the inner man. It ain't out of your head and it ain't out of your flesh. The words that come to pass, what you say from your heart with your mouth. Get your mouth connected to your heart. The things that you believe that are scriptural, start saying them. Talk those things. Hallelujah. See, I always talk every day. You know, every day I pray over my meal, I talk health. Every day. I talk health. I don't wait till I get sick and then go over the things that, well, I'm going to pray for healing. I'm sorry, I don't ever pray for healing anyhow. But I do a confession. I speak. And I'm doing it all the time. God blesses my bread and water. He takes sickness away from me. That's what He does. He told Israel, they obey Him, do what He said. I said, praise God, I obeyed Him, I accept Jesus, walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. He blesses my bread and water and He takes sickness away from me. Glory to God. That's what He does. I don't wait for, you know, then, well, now let's get a confession now that I got sick. Well, you're already working behind the eight ball, so, you know, till you get done where you can get in faith with it, disease and probably healed and going on. You know, you can get over COVID faster than that. You know, just letting it go natural. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. See, it's why you talk these things all the time. You talk about your freedom now. You talk all the time about it. See, there's a lot of things we would never get in trouble with in our life if we would speak what the Word of God says about. Start talking about God's. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm righteous. My desire is to do what's righteous. My desire is to walk righteous. That's what my desire is. Instead of, well, you know, I just got problems with this. See, we get right over the negative side and we go there and talk. Well, you know, my weaknesses. Well, that's what the Word says. Talk your weaknesses. That'll be a big help. Talk your weaknesses. Talk your mental and physical weaknesses. That's it. I'll tell you, that'll take you a long way. See, nobody ever got saved doing that. Amen. You can't get saved talking what the flesh feels and what the thing. You get saved by in your heart believing that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead. It's in your heart. Man, that heart, your heart is the most powerful thing that you got. Now, I'm not talking about a physical heart, your spirit. Your inner man is the most powerful thing you have. And if you'll let Him talk, you'll give Him the opportunity to use your voice, it's amazing the things that will happen for you. So you want to go there in that place. Hallelujah. Let Him talk. Talk about your life good. Don't talk about, you know, I hear people saying about, you know, the economy and all this kind of people getting over there. Don't talk that stuff. You know, in the world there's tribulation. You don't have to confess tribulation. It's here. You don't need to confess. Why help it along? Why enable it? Confess what the words of God says. God said you're blessed with Abraham. That's what He said. My God. God took the children of Israel down and had the Egyptians take care of them, make them rich. Oh, but today our God is such a little old weenie. We just got this forgiveness of sin thing, and that's all we got. And you know, if we get down to Egypt, they're going to take everything we got. I know it. We're going to get down there. They're going to take all of our camels and all of our sheep and all of it. I know it. They're going to take it all. See, we worry about all these things. And we have a book that tells us about what happened to the people. I mean, look at Jacob. How much did Laban try to cheat that guy? And you know what he came out with? All of Laban's stuff. Woo! When I leave, I'm taking all their stuff. I just want you to know that. We're taking all their stuff. Amen. Well, at least I will. I don't know what you're going to take. What are you saying? My God, he had his family and everything. He took them all. Hallelujah. And then that stupid preacher's preached down on Jacob. Like, oh, he was this guy. I'd rather be a Jacob than any of those preachers. Amen. Hallelujah. God blessed him. He was a covenant man. And God blessed him. Whatever he put his hand to, God blessed him. We're redeemed from the curse, folks. Hallelujah. We're the blessed people. Glory to God. See, I don't care what it looks like around you, what it doesn't seem like, how you could possibly be best. You don't even have to be worrying or thinking about that. That is not your obligation. Your obligation is to believe God and let God figure out how it's going to happen or who he's going to use or what he's going to use. You just need to believe he's going to do it for you, no matter what. You don't need to know where it's coming from. God sent Joseph down there. His brothers thought him hauling him off. We're getting rid of this guy. He ended up being their savior. Why? Sent him on down there. But I tell you what, and down there, the devil came along and tried to get him in trouble and everything. But what? He's a guy of faith and you can't stop him. Till he comes and sits on the throne where Pharaoh doesn't do anything. He don't even lift his hand. This guy's running Egypt. Do you know what it was to run Egypt in those days? That would have been like running the U.S., China, and Russia together. That was the world empire. And there was a guy who was God's boy, was running the whole thing. Can God bless you? He went from slave, and you need to understand, see, that's a picture. We were slaves in sin. And you know what God did in Jesus? He put us on the throne. We're seated together with him in heavenly places. And the church is still the slave. We haven't ever believed it. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Now think about that. You're blessed with every blessing heaven has, it says you're blessed with it. He didn't say you're going to get, he said you're blessed. Every blessing. Everyone, think about that. Everyone that heaven has, he says you're blessed with. He didn't say you're going to be. It's past tense. You have been blessed. You've already been blessed, guys. You've already been blessed with everything. Everything heaven has to offer, heaven says it's yours. I don't know if you got a revelation on that, but I'll tell you what. I'm about ready to take a running spell. Glory to God. So that's what I'm saying. See, the Bible is so good. The Bible, our gospel is so good. It's never been preached as good as it is. It's never preached as good as it is. It's too great. People want something little. Give me something little. Hallelujah. Take something big. Amen. Take more pie you can eat. You know, quit picking around. Say, well, that's too much for me. No, you never too much for me. Hallelujah. Amen. If there's blessing there, if you don't take yours, I will. You don't take it, I will. Do you know there's people, you know, this might sound funny to you, that actually happens in the earth. There's people walking around with blessings that were supposed to be other people's because they wouldn't walk in it. They stepped out and took it. There's people standing in ministry offices that were meant for other people, but they wouldn't take it. And God, somebody moved over, took it. God put them in it. See, we don't know about those things, that stuff. You know, all those blessings that flow by. Don't let stuff flow by you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before we go today, we're going to take our offering for our missions. Praise God. Hallelujah. We get to give to missionaries. Isn't it a fun Sunday? This is a fun Sunday because we get to give twice. God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Come on up. If anybody wants an envelope before we go, we're going to take it. Hallelujah. This is for the ministries we support, missionaries.